Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, as we continue our look-see here in this book, the Proverbs of Solomon, as a father speaking to his children, as our Heavenly Father speaking to us, much reiteration, telling over and over again the same things. But we're that way. We need that. We need that reinforcement, peradventure, the Lord catch us at a time when I'm out there in la-la land, and then later on at another time, I'll get it. It's maybe one of the ways the Lord, or the reasons the Lord does that. But many, we're going to see some verses even tonight that are the thought of them, and other verses we're going to refer to, if we get that far, are nearly exact duplicates. They're requotes, if you will, of the same thing. The Lord had placed that on Solomon's heart as he wrote, and we have this good Word of God before us to give us the mind of God, what God thinks about living day-to-day life for us, how we should live and how we should think. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. This can apply to a man also. We even talked about in the last couple chapters about how the foolish can pluck down their own home with their mouth, even. And so we need to esteem the blessings of God and always seek to be an edifier. And everything, the children of God, we need to be edifiers, not those that would tear down, but edifiers. Sometimes we have to be sober. Sometimes we have to be grave, or we're to be all the time. And sometimes that causes us to have to deal with some things we just don't want to deal with. But they need to be dealt with. You know, problems that are left alone will never get better by ignoring them. Never will. Mark it down, whether it's in our personal life, our family life, our church life. If we got a problem, it does need to be dealt with. And there's places for long-suffering, and there's places for bearing burdens and such as that. And we need the Lord's help in having discernment about all those things. But we need to be builders and not tearer-downers, indeed. In verse number 2, he that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord. If where there is one that is walking in uprightness, and I hate to say true uprightness, you know, it's uprightness. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about that which is pleasing to the Lord. Having been saved, been given the righteousness of Christ, having had the Spirit of God within, he that walketh in uprightness, the uprightness that the Lord commands, does fear the Lord. We fear the Lord. We morally revere the Lord as His children. There was a time that we were, and granted, even as His children, we know the ability of the Lord, don't we? He's the one that can take the body and kill the body, and then He can eternally kill the soul too. But having been saved, we don't fear the Lord in that. And it's not that we're nonchalant with the Lord, but we're in a different place. We're in a different state as being in the beloved, being children. But we do revere Him, and we do acknowledge His power. He saved us from our damned, unjustified, sinful, wicked condition. He saved us from that and made us dear children, but yet we fear Him as a heavenly Father. He that walketh in His uprightness feareth the Lord. It's a manifestation of it. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth Him. He that is wicked and perverse in his ways despiseth who? The Lord. Why? Because God said, I'm not going to put up with sin. That's what God has said. He requires holiness. He requires a perfection, if you will. And one that is perverse throws that. There may be the case where we do sin against one another and sin against mankind when we sin. But ultimately, we sin against God because He said those things should not be. Remember what the Lord says here. I found this interesting here in Exodus chapter 20, and referred to this at the jail. In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 4, here in the midst of giving the Ten Commandments, on the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, he tells Israel and us, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. That's not the end of the sentence. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. I don't think it's wrong for you to have a cameo of grandma, you know, or even a bust of that you would have there in your house of your great grandfather or something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. We have decorative things. You know, we got an eagle up there on top of the flag. That's the symbol of our country. But we don't worship that. But when we start worshiping that, well, no. If we would start worshiping that, may God help us that we never would, you know, then it becomes a snare. But that's representative of our country and a common thing. You know, it's not saying that there's nothing that we can have graven. It's the qualifier is when we worship it. When it comes between us and God, we're to worship God. And we don't need any help worshiping God other than His Word and the Holy Spirit of God. But he says here, in regards to this worship, right? Because isn't that what a graven image comes into to being an issue? That the graven image is that which is trusted, whether it be made out of wood or gold or silver or stone or different jewels put there. Remember the slides that Brother Gordon had over there where he's at in Thailand, right? And they had those places where they would, a grotto where they would have different Buddhas and they're burning candles and all that. And, you know, it's just the depravity of man. It's what the Lord saved us out of. And they say, well, we're not worshiping that. And you remember he showed the slide. He said, looks like worship to me. It is. They're using that as one Catholic woman told me. She claimed Catholicism. She was raised in such from her youth. She said, well, the images help us worship God. We don't need any help to worship God other than His Word and the Spirit of God. We just don't need that. And so in regards to this of worship, that's what it is. Don't make any engraven image. Don't bow down thyself to them in verse number 5 of Exodus 20. Nor serve them. See, lighting that candle, burning that incense, bringing some kind of offering, that's serving them. That's serving them. Looking to placate the God so we can get something out of the God. Right? That's serving them. In regards to that, listen to what the Lord says. I find this interesting. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers. I think that do this. Okay? The fathers that do this thing, that's the context, isn't it? That visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Or that, remember that word hate, it's talking about being a foe, being an enemy, being odious. The man that will worship an idol, God hates that because he's the only one that's to be worshipped. We know the New Testament scriptures tell us that indeed the worship of such is the worship of devils, isn't it? Right? And God's not going to share His glory. The worship of mankind, right? We're to have dominion over the earth under the honor and glory and praise of our Creator. That's what we were created for. And a man worshiping something else other than God, God hates it. He hates it. And then he says, they're my enemy. They're my foe. They are indeed odious to me. It will not be. And man, what a condemnation that carries. Amen? Third generation. Third generation would mean for me presently would be Joseph and Matthew's first, second. Yeah, third generation would be their children for me. Or my other children's grandchildren. And then the fourth generation would be on beyond that. That's heavy, isn't it? That is heavy indeed, isn't it? But praise God for this, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I love him because he first loved me. And he rescued me. And he sent his son for me. And he visited me. And he put his word together for me. I'm not saying he didn't do that for you. But from the standpoint of my life, God did all that for me. You know, I'm on the inside of me. You're on the inside of you. Here? And so for me, I know it means a lot for you to be saved. But for me to be saved here on the inside of me, it means the most. Amen, right? Isn't that the way it is? And He did that for me. He did that for me. And so, he that is perverse in his ways despiseth God. Oh, worship the King. See His great love for other sinners like you, you that are here not saved, and trust in Him. Repent of your sins and believe in His Son. He's saved us. He can save you. And showing mercy unto thousands of them to love me and keep my commandments. If we love Him, surely we'll keep His commandments. Amen. We owe it all to Him. And the thing is any commandment that He gives us against us, it's all good for us, isn't it? It's all good for us, indeed. Verse 3, in the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride. I find that interesting. Now, maybe a reference to the tongue, huh? And the tongue is an unruly, damnable evil. Indeed it is. You know what that word rod means? A twig. I thought that was interesting. In the Hebrew, it means twig. That isn't much of a stick, is it? But what about the Word of God? What's it do? What's our Word do? Well, we can praise God, and we can bless God and bless our brethren, bless mankind. Can you do anything with your Word? And maybe you can get some work out of your children, maybe. If you're a boss at work, maybe you can get some work out of your employees. But it doesn't last too long, does it? What about the Word of God? Settled in heaven. Goes out to all men. Effectual in its calling. Wow. See, isn't that something? A great contrast. In the mouth of the foolish is the little twig of pride. Oh, pride. Pride, pride. Mankind's greatest problem. We don't think God has the answer because we're mankind. We think we got the answer. Oh, that's wrong, isn't it? And the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise shall preserve themselves. Wisdom of the Lord is what it's talking about. It's preserving, isn't it? It'll preserve the lips of the wise. Reiterating what God says will be a help to all that hear. Amen? It'll be a help. It'll be a blessing indeed. Verse number 4, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. We might say, well, duh. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if there's no oxen there, the crib is clean. But much increase by the strength of the ox. You know, it's easier to use sometimes may not be the wisest thing, but it's wise to use equipment to do work, isn't it? Because you can get more done, and you need to make sure you can afford the equipment. But this is one of those things, just a practical thing of life. You know, you're out there tilling and rowing without an ox, might do well to get an ox. You think I can justify getting another tool with Clarissa with that? I don't know. You know, but I mean, there's just wisdom in things. There's other things like this about having a sharp axe, about getting out and working. You know, getting out and working, you might get hurt. We'll see that. But the Lord's command is we need to get out and work, don't we? We need to do. We need to pursue. We need to do those things where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. The Lord has given that, and we're to use that. You know what? That would be an excellent verse to witness to someone from India, wouldn't it? They worship oxen. Oxen have been made to use, to do work, and to eat. That's what God made them for, indeed. Not to be worshipped. That's taking that ox and making it an idol, another god before the Lord. Verse number 5, a faithful witness will not lie. He's faithful. He won't lie. He'll tell the truth. But a false witness will utter lies. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. One of the commandments in Exodus 20:16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's the pinnacle of lying. It's one thing to lie for self, but it seems like the Lord, and the greatest of that is to lie against somebody. False witness against somebody. You know, they did that to our Lord and Savior, didn't they? You get them to agree, but they tried. False witnesses. Don't ever be found a false witness. Don't ever be found. A faithful witness will not lie. Verse number 6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Here, this scorner, as again, we've seen this reference to this kind of person, one that scoffs, one that runs their mouth, one that derides and makes a mock and such as that. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Understanding from the Lord. Understanding, to learn, to understand. I've told you, a fellow that I worked with early on in St. Louis, he said the greatest thing about going to school is to learn how to learn. You never quit learning. Never think that you've arrived. There's always something more to learn. It's a blessing of God. It's a blessing of God for us to learn and even to use things that we learn for the furtherance of His kingdom. Amen? Aren't you glad that there are those that learned how to print? I'm talking about printing press. That in and of itself has nothing to do with God, but it can be used to help the Lord. I'm glad Marconi invented the radio, aren't you? Yeah. And that can be used for the furtherance of the gospel. The Lord blesses a scorner seeketh wisdom and can't find it. Maybe one that's a scorner needs to seek to close their mouth. And as the man told me, he said, you got one mouth and two eyes and two ears. Listen and watch twice as much as you talk. Or maybe four times as much, right? Because we can learn. We can learn. We can be blessed in that. Knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. You want understanding? James talks about wisdom. Who's the one to ask for that? Mom and Dad? They'll help you all they can, but you know, the one to ask is the Lord. Amen? And He doesn't say, hey, what are you doing? Get out of here. No, but He'll give it liberally, won't He? Indeed He will. The Lord enjoys such. Verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. When you listen to him talk for a while and you don't hear coming out of his mouth knowledge from the Lord, scat. Get out of there. Don't make that man your counselor. If they don't know what they're talking about, we're going to see later on in this chapter how it is. Well, maybe we'll just go there and look at it now. I refer to this verse from time to time. Let me see if I can find it real quick. And it's this way. When you want to find it, you can't. It's later on there in the chapter in verse number 23. Look over there at that verse. Verse number 23 of the same chapter. In all labor there is profit. There's profit in labor. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. What's that? What I get from that is talk's cheap. But somebody that's done something, you can learn from them. They've got experience. Now, it's not to say that others that have done other things or similar or in parallel or whatever wouldn't have good ideas about things, but someone that's done a thing, their talk isn't cheap, is it? Someone that brags, somebody that's always got a better idea, but even though they haven't done it or pursued it, be wary. Might get in trouble. We might go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Verse number 7. Verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The wisdom of the prudent, he understands the direction he's going, where he's been. This prudence is talking about, a prudent person is talking about someone that's witty and skillful. A lot of times it has to do in a wicked way. We don't need to be in that way. We need to be cunning in a wise, right way. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit or deception, fraud. The folly, the silliness of the silly. That's the silliness of the silly is fraud and craft, deception and subtlety and treachery. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Do you know what way you're on? We who are saved, we're on the narrow way, right? And we need to apply that to living our own personal life. We need to apply living on the narrow way to our homes, to raising and rearing our children. We need to apply that to our service individually in the church, together collectively as a church. Do we understand what way we're on? Are we coasting or are we going somewhere? On the narrow way? Do we know what the business of the church is and what we can do to help in that? Huh? Or are we walking on a spiritual way? What about personally your spiritual way? Are you growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you still know the same stuff you knew 5 years ago? Not that what you learned 5 years ago isn't good, but we need to keep on growing. Grow up. Keep on growing. We need things emphasized. Because I forget. I forget more now than I used to forget. Best I can remember. Right? Look at this in verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin. That's sin. What are you talking about, sin? Just do what you want to do. For a fool, the fool said in his heart, no God. A fool makes a mock at sin. Oh, you goody two-shoe. What are you talking about, God? A lot of those guys up there at the jail would tell you that. All I did is I just got caught. Because nothing else matters other than getting away from the man, right? Fools make a mock at sin. No, sin is wickedness before God. God hates sin. And He's angry with the wicked every day. Do you want to be in a place where the Lord's angry every day? Well, only by salvation can that anger be deferred. Amen? Only by the Lord Jesus Christ can that anger be deferred. The fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. And again, that's a reference to the saved. The righteousness of Christ, the Spirit of God living within. And Psalms 14:1 and Psalms 53:1 made a reference to those Psalms where David writes, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity, abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And also quoted by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. The righteous, among the righteous there is favor. Again, for the saved, our eternal existence just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? Indeed it does. Verse 10, the heart knoweth its own bitterness. This is an interesting verse. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. You ever wonder about that verse? I wonder about it too. In studying and seeking the Lord's face and help about this chapter and this verse here, what I got from it is that, you know, sympathy and empathy are as close as we can get to understanding one another's burdens and joys. Hear that? Sympathy and empathy are as close as we can get to understanding one another's burdens and joys. See, now if you walked in those shoes, you understand, but yet you don't understand what they directly are going through. You hear that? If you're empathetic, you look on there and in your mind and in your heart, you stretch. You say, boy, that'd be bad. That would really be bad, but I don't know how it feels to be in that situation. There are those of you whose parents have died and gone on. You know what that's like. And another whose parents have died and gone on, they can sympathize with you, but they don't know and can't feel everything that you are. One that has not lost their parents, or the parents have not died. And they look on to that and say, oh, that's got to be terrible. That's got to be very hard. But I don't know how you feel. Okay? We go on, though, and consider this. I mean, the Scripture tells us in ways that we are to sympathize and empathize, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep in Romans 12:15. In Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what we're commanded to do. Somebody's rejoicing, be happy with them. Brother and sister in Christ, even those that are not saved, if it's not something over something that's wicked, but someone is weeping and sorrowful, weep with them. Weep with them. Be sympathetic. Be empathetic. Bear one another's burdens. Verse Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must showeth himself friendly. But you know what? There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, He's different. We can sympathize and we can empathize. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows. what you're going through. He knows what I am going through. See, it's different with Him. I hadn't always seen that way, and I'm thankful this verse speaks to that. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Yeah, there are others that maybe have gone through the situation that you have. Indeed, they can sympathize, but only the Lord can really, really get what you are going through. And you know, we can go to Him because of that. Amen? We can go to Him. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's not one that can't. He is one. He's not one that can't be touched. He is one that can be touched. The feelings of our infirmities. This is one of the verses of very few in the New Testament that talks about feelings. But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. You know, one thing that the child of God can really be faced with is maybe things going on in life and problems happening and different things, and where the child of God even would say they want to give up. Remember the Lord, He didn't give up. And the Lord knows what it feels like to be pressed so to give up. He didn't give up. He fulfilled it perfectly, didn't He? And He knows what that feels like. If there's anyone that does or can, it is indeed the Lord. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It says earlier in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 18, for in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to help. That's what that word succor means. He can get in there in the midst of that thing, take it to Him, pray to Him about it, give it to Him, cry to Him about it. I trust you understand this about it. Complain to Him about it. See, we can be honest with the Lord. When we don't need to be belligerent, we don't need to be irreverent, okay? But when we don't understand, when we are hurt, when we are angered, when we are disturbed, God already knows that. We don't need to take it out on Him here, but we can certainly take it to Him. And He'll hear. And He'll help. Well, that's a comfort, isn't it? Isn't that a blessing? A blessing indeed. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. That's the way it is amongst mankind, but not so with the Lord. Verse number 11, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? In the end, all that the wicked has, it's going to be overthrown. Even their own body will be eternally condemned in the lake of fire forever. Life. See, we've been created to live on the earth. We're on the earth now. We're going to be on the earth then. Hear that? We don't need to worry about the moon or Mars or anything else. We're made to live on the earth. Now, maybe there's something else the Lord has in store later on. He'll take care of that when it's time. What you and I know right now is living on the earth. And we need to just know that. The child of God, a glorified body, a mansion in glory, being ever in the presence of the Lord, I believe His church, being there in the New Jerusalem forever with the Lord. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle, hear that? The tabernacle, the tent, the abode, the place of living of the upright shall flourish. It's just going to get better and better, isn't it? Verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right. This is a verse that's reiterated in Proverbs 16:25. The end of thereof are the ways of death. There's just a way it makes sense. It doesn't make sense that there would be a God that would create things. It's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It just doesn't make sense that we would be made by somebody that looks like us. It just doesn't make sense. That's death. That's death. Doesn't make sense. We ought to let a baby live that'll be born into poverty or born with disease or ailment, or it's the end of its death. Because the way it seems right, we lift ourselves up in pride, as the earlier passage said. In regards to the idolatrous worship by the people of Canaan, and there in Canaan, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8, the Lord says, "Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes." See, they've been instructed to tear down the idols, tear down the altars, tear down the places of worship, tear down the groves, tear down everything. He said, don't go after that. These people have done what seems right in their own eyes. Don't do that. Hear the command and word of the Lord. In Judges chapter 17, the two verses in Judges that are just a grief, as we read those accounts of the children of Israel, that cycle. I was talking to one of the members of the church here recently. They're saying they're reading through the book of Judges. And man, it's up and down and up and down. 40 years on and following the Lord, and 40 years of getting a whipping, and 20 years up and 30 years down, up and down and up and down. Lord used some tough men to judge in those days. But remember what it says there in Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that'll get us in trouble every time. I don't care what the Word of God says. We need to do this. Look out. Look out. I don't care what I think. We need to do what the Word of God says. Amen? That's what we need to do. We need to do what God says, what the Lord says. In our own way that seems right, the end of that will be certain death. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. We've looked at this verse. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel, especially the counsel of the Lord, is wise. Amen? The way of the fool is right. He says, yeah, that's the right way. Everything's good. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord's dealing with motive. He knows why we do what we do, why we think what we think, and why we go where we go and all that. He knows all that. He pondereth the hearts. In verse number 13, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. This is kind of related to verse number 10 somewhat. There's a connection there. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth, that joy, that happiness and everything, and celebrating and all that is heaviness. You know, especially when one is uncertain about or knows of the condemnation waiting in eternity. Amen? Can only get away from the fact of that so long. I tell you what, sinner, go to the Lord. Come to Christ. Because eternity separated from God in that lake of fire is going to be terrible, terrible indeed. Repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In verse number 12, it's a verse there that's kind of in parallel to that. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied of himself. Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. What the Lord gives, we need to take and use and be good stewards of, and be content with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with pursuing until we start to take pursuing and we put it in front of God. Because we should pursue to the honor and glory and praise of God in those things that He's given us in life and instructed us to do, and His service and worship and care of our families and rearing of our children and such as that, the work of the ministry that He's given us to do. We need to do that. We need to pursue. But we don't need to pursue after the way of the world. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. We've seen that. It'll come back on the sinner, won't it? It'll end up destroying him. But a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. You know, there are those, and we don't need to be this way. We need to teach our children not to be this way. And we don't need to live in fear, but we do need to be wise. In our day, we would say, don't believe anything you hear, a quarter of what you read, and only half of what you see. Amen? Right? But the simple, what they believe is what the last person told them. And what we need to do is we always need to take what we are told and what we hear and compare it up with what God says. And again, not listen to people where talk is cheap, but listen to those who have the Lord's wisdom. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. I think that we can take this and apply it to forwarded emails. Amen? Be careful. Be careful. I'm not saying I don't want you to forward me an email, but be careful about what's out there. I had a discussion with some fellows here not too long ago, and they were talking about a certain thing, and I said, listen, be careful about that. I would recommend going and get that document off the internet from the source. In this case, it was the government, and get the other document from the source, which is the government, and then look up that little thing that you're saying is so, and see if it's in there for yourself, because it turns out it's not. And what there are those that are out there that with issues at hand that they know that we would disagree with, they'll float a big one, and if you and I bite on it, it'll make us look like fools. Okay? So don't be wise. Don't be ignorantly thinking that ignorant and think that you're being wise by taking that thing and forwarding it unless you know it's the truth. And be careful. Be careful. That applies to the simple believeth every word. Just because it's on TV doesn't mean it's true. Just because it comes over the radio doesn't mean it's true. Right? Just because it's on the internet. Now, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true then. No, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true. Check it out. Check it out for yourself. Look out and check out things. Check things out before you quote them, right? The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Isn't that something? And in the day of Solomon, the Lord knew what we need, even all the way down here. Because people have always been people. People have always been people. But we've been this way since the beginning. Listen to this. In verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Wow. I think we could take this word rageth in this context, and I think we could even, to help us understand about it, call it rant. Okay? That word rageth, it means to alienate, to proclaim. It means, would you believe that it means in some cases a raiser of taxes? Hey, in our day, we have those that tell a lie and lie and lie, outshout the other, and then what's it say? Let's read it all. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Hear that? Boy, isn't that telling of our day? To yell and scream about a thing and carry on about it, use wicked false tactics to pursue a thing, and just keep on telling the lie, outshout others, and then in time, the people, the nation will suck it down, at least enough to make it fly, if you will, right? Amen? Many modern-day liberals are this way. They propagate a lie over and over and louder than any other opponent, and many times they win. You know what? Islam's that way. Islam's that way. That way. They're taking over Michigan by pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing. Can you believe that in our country there would even be a judge in his right mind would consider taking Sharia law and adopting that as the law of any region or part of our country? But they're doing it. They're giving consideration. They're giving consideration to taking international law and law of other countries and making that applicable in our country. We have been given and blessed to be able to make our own law. But we're losing our country. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth about his wickedness, about his lie, about the way that he thinks it ought to be, and he stands there confident while the ship's sinking. Nero fiddled as Rome burnt, right? Indeed. May the Lord help us. And then lastly, let's take a look here, just this last verse. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Let's take a look at verse number 29. It's in parallel to that. I told you just two more or another verse. Look at here. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty in spirit exalteth folly. Knee-jerk reactions. Always think and seek the Lord's face before speaking and or acting. Right? Verse 17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Let self get wound up and cranked real in a hurry. It'll lead to no good. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26 to 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Later on in that chapter, just a few verses down in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We've got a guard of becoming wrathful in our anger. I don't believe that it's necessarily wrong to become angry. The Lord Jesus became angry at the dullness of the hearing of those in His day. There, you look it up. Look it up in the New Testament. There were times that He was angry. But we've got to be careful what we do with it. We don't need to be angry quick. And it tells us there in Ephesians that it's best just take anger and put it away. It doesn't mean that you can't deal with something straightly and correctly and even forcefully as needed. But it needs to be, it doesn't need to be such that we lose our testimony, misrepresent the Lord wrong, or become vengeful or anything like that. There's a right way to deal with things. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And there's some things that our country, we can certainly be angered about the way of our country. Certainly we can be. You know, it can be into us. And we don't need to, I don't know what the word is. Maybe some of you afterwards can help me with it. You know, we don't need to just be numb and mealy mouth and apathetic and just, you know, not care. We need to care, but we need to control ourselves. And where there is an opportunity for us to act, we need to act. It is ours to act. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, but now see ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And for a pastor, in Titus chapter 1, verse 7, a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. A man that's a pastor can get himself in trouble getting angry fast. You pray for me about that. Not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Again, that word hated, enemy, foe, odious. If he doesn't turn, he's sure going to be the enemy of God at the end, isn't he? Amen. Oh, but if he'll turn, our great God and King will forgive him, won't he? Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop here for now and pick it up at this point next time.